The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Austin York, and this is your afternoon All Local.
Just brought us over a funnel cake. I've got powdered sugar all over my computer, all over the laptop. Yeah,
dove right into that thing. Then they brought us the, you know, getting us liquored up and fatter. That's what.
This is Fernie's funnel cake liqueur.
Fernie's funnel cake cream.
Oh, yeah. So I brought a bottle of this back to the station, and everyone's putting it in the coffee, and it was a great Friday, let's just say.
Wonderful. It's a fun product.
It kicks off the weekend perfectly.
We put the fun in funnel cakes.
That's right, you do.
Nice, I like that. All right, we're joined right now by Jonna McKee and Christy Arpio, two of Fernie's daughters. A lot of people see that name all over the fair, but they don't know. I mean, this is a real person. Fernie was, tell me about Fernie.
Fernie was our mother, mm-hmm. and she was definitely a real person.
And her name was not Fernie.
Her name is Wanda Fern. And so when we brought funnel cakes out there, we used her middle name and made it Fernie's Funnel Cakes. But her real name was Wanda.
And she got it started 55, is that right, 55 years?
Well, Johnny, you want to tell the story?
Yep, 55 years ago, Mom and Dad had some friends that said, hey, you want to come out to the State Fair of Texas? And Dad said, didn't work for them. And Dad said, yeah, we might do that, just make a little bit of extra money to go to Las Vegas. Well, here we are 55 years later.
Gotta get that Vegas money.
Exactly. And we
made a lot of Vegas money
there
since then.
There you go. Yeah, excellent.
Now, you guys, you were kids at the time. What was that like for you?
Well, I was not a kid. Jonna was.
Well, I was 7 years old, so I got a lot of friends during that time. Everybody's like, we can go to the fair with Jonna. So,
yeah.
But it's just developed into friendships and love for the whole 55 years. We have so many customers, and we don't call them customers, we call them guests, that come back in year after year after year and say, this is our first stop, this is our last stop. We'll only have a Fernie's funnel cake. And that's my favorite part about it. We are all about hospitality and love, and that's what Mom and Dad taught us. And if we can do one-tenth of what Mom and Dad set out to accomplish, we will have succeeded in life.
We're a little bit different out here since, I mean, you're here, you see it. We have a sit-down restaurant.
Yeah.
Where a lot of people just have
a
counter.
Diner.
Exactly. Yeah. And so they don't get to interact or develop relationships with their customers. Mm-hmm. Where we really feel like, but we know them because we can sit down at the table and join them and have funnel cakes or cream or whatever.
Yeah, talk to them.
Do you have regulars?
Oh, yes, we have regulars all over the walls.
How dare you ask that?
Come on, Mike, you should know that.
Come on. Talk about the fair itself. You guys have been coming here for so long. How has it changed in your eyes, or do you still have that same like youthful passion for the thing?
Oh, we have the youthful passion. Our bodies don't have
yeah, we don't have the, yeah. Yeah, we have the passion, maybe not the youthful.
All
how's
right,
that?
Right.
And we're carrying on the tradition. Mom and Dad were generation one, Christy and I are generation two. Christy's granddaughter, Taylor, my son, Jonathan, is out here.
Yeah.
And my 12-year-old grandson is already preparing for what he's going to do when he takes it over at fourth
Fernie
generation.
Over.
Yeah. So, and you know, it's Fernie. As people come in, before mother passed away, they would sit and visit with her, and she would talk to them, and just so gracious with them. And it's just, you know, hospitality with Texas is what mother taught us.
And she's not around anymore, but there's a shrine.
There is a shrine to mother. That is her table.
There's flowers over there. Tell me about that.
Well, the flowers are, some of them are from our friends. Some of them we brought ourselves. We have a little guest book over there, and people go in there and sign in and write memories of mother and whatnot.
Awesome.
So,
the recipes changed at all, or is the same?
As far as the funnel cake,
yeah.
Same recipe.
The secret recipe.
Yes. Once you do it.
Is there a secret? Is there a secret to it?
Well, I had a guy ask me last night. He goes, tell me, what is it you put in your funnel cakes that make them so good? And I said, it's just Fernie's. But literally, I saw him eat two funnel cakes within an hour.
Oh.
He had one, left, and came back.
And got another.
But what we also have, when we very first, Mom and Dad started out here, they served nachos and roast sandwiches, beef roast sandwiches. We still serve the exact same nachos. And since we've been here 55 years, this year we're doing rollback prices, and our nachos are $5.
Awesome.
$5 nachos. And we were the first people to bring nachos to the state fair.
Actually, we call them nachitos.
Nachitos. So we brought funnel cakes and nachitos to the fair.
Nice.
I like that.
And awesome. To top it all off, we have the Fernie's funnel cake cream. That is...
Yeah. Now, what would your mom think of that?
She would love it. She would love seeing her name everywhere. I mean, it's just like...
Even on a bottle.
On a bottle, she'd say, you're kidding me.
You're kidding me.
So, well, he said, no, we're not. This is Vegas money, baby.
Lots of Vegas money.
Now, what's the record for funnel cakes consumed at one sitting?
I have no idea.
Have you ever had any like...
We have not had like a... funnel cake eating contest like a corn dog.
Ooh,
we have
you
not...
just led us on to
something. Well, I have thought about it before. So it might be something we do next year.
Powdered sugar be flying everywhere.
It's bad.
Yeah, we're going to get that going. But we did do Big Texas birthday cake one year.
Oh, good.
And we just stacked funnel cakes and funnel cakes. We didn't make it as tall as Big Tex, but quite a few funnel cakes there.
Right.
Awesome.
Good enough. Listen, guys, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks
Fernie's
for hosting
daughter.
Us, too. Yeah,
you're
awesome.
Very welcome. We're loving y'all in here.
It's been great.
Jonna, thanks so much. Christy, you as well.
And thank you.
It's been awesome, and we look forward to fun 3 weeks ahead.
All right.
All right.
Now, Hall of State, you're going to want to swing in there this year because there's a very interesting demonstration going on. It's an attempt at a Guinness World Record, actually, for card stacking. Like playing cards. You ever make like a, you know, a little card
tower? Yeah, a little house
tower,
of cards.
A little house of cards.
Like
right, playing cards. And the best in the business, Brian Berg, he's with us right now. And he'll be in the Hall of State attempting to set a Guinness World Record. He's with us right now. Brian, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
I'm looking at this. You have just,
I wouldn't
during
bet
the
against
last,
him.
last few minutes, you built a 7-level card tower. And then just, I guess, showing off, you put a bottle of water on top of it.
And the table is shaking a little bit, and that thing ain't moving.
It's a great seismic zone you two provided for me to be working.
Yeah, absolutely.
You told me earlier, I mean, you've been out here off and on. First time you were out here was almost 20 years ago. You've been doing this a while.
Yeah, I was a much younger form of myself back then.
Weren't we all? How'd this start? How'd you get into this?
My grandfather was the one that really introduced me to card stacking. He wasn't a card builder. And actually, way back in the day, he lived here in Dallas and ran the Chalk Hill Theater. And but anyway, he was really a card player in his spare time. And so when we would go, you know, see the grandparents, he was playing cards. And then between card games, he was building a small card house. Not even, you know, as tall as what we have here. And it would eventually fall, and he'd say choice words, and that would be the end of it. But that was my introduction. And then, you know, fast forward, I'm a trained architect. A lot of people think that my ability to do this is because I, you know, have that background. But the reality is that the cards are kind of what inspired me to go that direction. But then the cards derailed my would-have-been-more-normal life because a college buddy of mine put up cardstacker.com in about 1994 when I didn't even know what a website was. And then I just started getting inquiries from, like, all over the world. And here I am.
Here you are.
what's the record you're attempting to set here?
Okay, so many, many moons ago when I was here, I captured the... Well, I already held it, but I just kind of... made it a notch taller, the tallest house of cards. So the one that we built was 26 feet tall.
Wow.
And here I actually, you know, we'll see how the time goes, because building the world's largest house of cards isn't really like, it's kind of a hard way of saying it. It's not really a hard thing to do. It's just a time-consuming thing.
Bet.
So it's like, you know, are there enough hours in the day? So we'll see how it goes, but I'm making a collection of Texas landmarks. So we've got the UT Tower building.
Oh, nice.
Cotton Bowl, Alamo, Hall of State, the State House, to name a few. And we'll see how many of those I get done. But right now I'm building the UT Tower, and it's kicking my butt because I made it a little bigger than I should have. But I always prevail. Just have to put in the time.
What's the key here? Like, is there one thing that maybe, I guess, the key to card stacking to keep it balanced and whatever?
A steady hand.
Besides that.
Not even that. You should see how much coffee I drink.
That's true.
And the table is, in this case, you guys have got it moving pretty good. But really the secret is, it's just kind of the methodology of how I do it. Everything I set up is kind of in a honeycomb formation. Think like, you know, corrugated cardboard, for example, is just three little layers of, you know, garbage almost, but the way it's put together, it becomes very strong. So it's really a matter of how I'm setting the cards up that allows them to be as strong as they are. And there's no tape, there's no glue, the cards are not bent or folded in any way. So it's a legitimate house of cards. And then we're behind, you know, big sheets of glass, and I think that everyone thinks that the glass is there to, you know, keep any little draft of wind. So that's kind of the great illusion, is that everyone thinks it's really fragile. Like, oh, you know, you throw a coin in there that you would destroy it. But the reality is that every seven decks of cards is a pound of paper. And if you've ever, you know, moved, you know, banker's boxes of your old taxes or books around, you realize how heavy paper is. So a lot of these buildings that I make, you know, weigh 10, 20, 30, 40 pounds. And they're just not what they appear to be, except for the uppermost floors are quite fragile.
What's your biggest enemy? Is it the air conditioning vents?
My own clumsiness. No, really. I mean, I have to, those who know me will tell you that they find it to be a miracle that I actually do this because I just dropped my shirt on the floor as we were standing here. So I have to look and then move, look and then move. I'm always being really careful where my feet are. Or, you know, you turn around to grab some cards just to make sure you don't, you know, bump something. So I guess that's really the biggest enemy. And then for me, the hardest part is just always I tend to, you know, try to do the maximum. So I always end up, you know, working huge days and getting
so myself. Time is also an enemy.
Yeah, in a way it is, yeah.
All right, what are we going to do with this now?
Are
we going to leave it here? Are we going to blow it? We're going to go like this?
We're going to have a
bang
quake.
The table.
See, look at that. Look at that.
Here we go.
And,
oh, perfect.
Down.
And it went straight down.
Straight down.
Yeah, that is exactly like a demolition.
Yep. Yeah, I would have expected it to tip over and
fall. It just
all
went
the cards
straight down.
Everywhere. It went straight down.
You know, and on that note, on the final day, I think is probably when, well, obviously when we'll do it, but we'll have a massive leaf blower implosion.
There you go.
And that is always kind of cool because I think people, when they see it going up, they're still, even though they watch me doing it, they can't quite imagine that it's real.
Yeah, it's glued or anything like that.
The leaf blower bit kind of solves that.
I love it. Card stacker Brian Berg, the best that ever did it.
We've been talking about this Amber Alert for a baby from Rockwall. We started talking about it when the Rockwall police put it out this morning, and now they found her. She's safe. She's sound. 400 miles away.
Rockwall police say the girl was staying in a foster home. They say her biological parents had lost custody but came before dawn this morning and took her out of the house. Detectives believe the group might have been headed to the northeast, so they warned police in other states to keep a lookout. They say a state trooper near Springfield, Missouri spotted their van and stopped them. They had traveled more than 400 miles, but the girl was okay. Rockwall police are now sorting out what charges the parents might face. From the 24-Hour News Center, Alan Skaya, News Radio 1080 KURLD.
Parole case of former Dallas cop Amber Geiger, now under review by a panel of Texas Bureau of Pardons and Paroles. Geiger became eligible over the weekend, having served half of her 10-year murder term. Now, in 2018, Geiger went to the wrong apartment in her building, and she thought Botham Jean was an intruder, and she fired on him. Now, during her trial, Geiger says she feared Jean was about to attack her.
And then he began coming towards you?
Yes.
And as he became coming for you, that's when you heard him speak?
Yes. And that's at that point whenever I shot.
The panel that will decide the case makes the decision in secret. Jean's family opposes the early release.
Dallas cops say he caused a wreck that hurt five kids, and he didn't stick around to help.
Police say 20-year-old Jose Castro drank about four beers on an empty stomach before he got behind the wheel of a car and caused the wreck at the intersection of Ledbetter and Rugged Drive. Investigators say he ran a red light and slammed into an SUV that had five children inside. A four-year-old was ejected from the vehicle and is listed in critical condition. Another five-year-old is listed in serious condition. The other three children were treated and released from the hospital. Police say Castro didn't stick around following the crash and took off running. He was found by a police dog hiding in some bushes in the front lawn of a home nearby. Castro is facing several charges of intoxication assault with a vehicle and is also being held on an immigration hold. From the 24-Hour News Center, Austin York, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
A North Texas officer is now recovering in the hospital this afternoon after an accident today in Ennis. The officer is with Palmer Police Department, which is in Ellis County. Police tell us that the accident happened around noon today. Several other people were also involved, and they are also in the hospital, but everyone is expected to be okay. We don't know how the accident happened just quite yet, but police tell us Ennis police are investigating.
Scared to North Texas High School. Police say the whole thing's a hoax. Earlier today, North Richland Hills police got a 911 call about a threat at Richland Hills High School. Birdville ISD put the school on lockdown. The police went all over the building. They got the all clear, and the kids got to leave on time. Investigation continues. Police learned that these kinds of hoaxes are happening all over the country. People from out of state calling 911 to report fake school threats.
Well, we've been telling you about schools in Texas struggling to balance their budgets. And parents held a protest this morning outside of one school here in the Metroplex, the Coppell School Board. They're scheduled to vote tonight on a plan to close Pinkerton Elementary. Now, parents met outside this morning with signs, some saying our kids are not dollar signs and don't close our schools. They say closing Pinkerton would not balance the budget.
Looking to raise $2 million from taxes, and closing this school raises another two. There's no plans in place to raise the other six. They've looked at other alternative ways to raise money or to lower cost. They have $12 million of others that do not include closing schools.
Now, he also says Coppell ISD should instead change the high school schedule or consolidate bus routes to save money. Coppell ISD says kids who go to Pinkerton would be sent to other schools with open seats, so class sizes would stay the same.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.